Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf chof aleph. And we are about 15 lines from the bottom of daf chof omid beis. Ki hu roide bechol ever hanar. Today's daf has been learned as a schos for Achenu b'nei Yisrael hanesunim atzar v'ashivya. Today's daf's also being learned as a schos refuah shalema for Ruchama Rivka bas Rachel, Zisol Rachel bas Alta Fromit, and Yehonatan Eitan ben Batsheva Bracha. So the topic of yesterday's daf and today's daf and a good chunk of tomorrow's daf is the concept of the Melech, the Jewish king. We spoke out an introduction to the parsha of the Melech in the raid of yesterday's daf. And really, without further ado, we can dive right into another fully loaded daf from the standpoint of classic Gemaras, Halachos, Divrei Agad. Amar Reish Lakish, B'tchila, in the beginning, Malach Shloima al Elyonim, Shloima Melech was king on the Elyonim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayeshev Shloima al Kisei Hashem. Ulebesoif, and then later Malach ala Tachtoinim, he became Melech even on the Tachtoinim, on the mortals. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ki hu roide bechol ever hanar mitifsach v'adaza, that he ruled, he was moishel over the entire ever hanar. How much? From tifsach all the way to Aza. So the pasuk describes the magnitude and the scope of the malchus of Shloima HaMelech. How big was it? He ruled bechol ever hanar, specifically from Tifsach until Az. Says the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel. There was a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. Chadam, one said Tifsach b'soif ha'olam ve'az b'soif ha'olam. That Tifsach and Az were on two opposite ends of the world. And what the Pasuk is saying is that he literally ruled from sea to shining sea. From Tifsach, which is on one side of the world, to Az, which is on the other side. Chadam, the other one said Tifsach ve'az b'adadad yihava. That Tifsach and Az were really right next to each other. So what then does the Pasuk mean that he ruled from Tifsach until Aza? What's the big deal? What the pasuk means to say is that just like he ruled on Tifsach and on Aza, kach malach al kol ha'olam kulo, meaning he had such control over the world that just like he was able to rule on Tifsach and Aza, so too he was able to rule on the entire world. So they're not arguing whether or not Shloima HaMelech ruled over the entire world. The question just is, from a pure geographical perspective, Tifsach v'ad Aza, which are the two landmarks that are singled out by the Pasuk, were they next to each other or faket? They were on Yenem Ekvelt. Another Gemara. It says that Shloima HaMelech ruled essentially on the entire world. Ula b'soif, but that was only in the beginning. But with time, Loi Malach Ela Al Yisrael, his kingdom shrunk a little bit, and all he ruled over was on Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ani Koyeles, referring to Shloima HaMelech, Hayisi Melech Al Yisrael, meaning he went from ruling Mitifsach Vad Aza to ruling only on Eretz Yisrael. Ula b'soif, but then his kingdom shrunk even a little bit more. Loi Malach Ela Yushalayim, he was only king on Yushalayim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Divrei Koyeles Ben David Melech B'Yerushalayim. Melech B'Yerushalayim, I thought he ruled over the whole world, or at the very least, he's Melech Yisrael. So you see, there was a point that he only ruled on Yerushalayim. Ula b'soif, and then his kingdom shrunk even more, and he was Loi Malach Ela Al Mitasai. He only ruled over his bed. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Hine mitasei shel Shloimei v'goymer, as if to say, the only thing he's melech over is his mitu. And then his kingdom was even smaller than that. And all he was king over was his shtek. And Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ze hoya chelki mikol amali, this is Shloimei Melech talking. Ze always means that you're pointing at something, right? You're looking at something squarely between the eyes. So what's that thing that he's referring to when he says, this is chelki mikol amali? It's referring to his makel, stating that although the stum of the Gemara says that it was referring to his makel, really it was machlekes. Rav and Shmuel Chadam one said makloi, the Chadam are gundoi. One of them, we don't know who said what, said that what does it mean that at the end it was zeho yecholki mikol amali, he was molach al makolik, like the stum of the Gemara. But the other one said it was referring to his talus. Either way, so Shloima HaMelech is Moshel Bekipa, he's literally ruling over the entire world, and then his kingdom shrinks. He goes from ruling over the entire world to only ruling over Eretz Yisrael, then he's only ruling over Yerushalayim, he's only a melech on his mita. He gets to the point where he's only a melech on his makel, or maybe on his talus. The question is, does this where it ended, or did Shlomo HaMelech make a comeback? Hadar Aloy Hadar, says the Gemara. This too was a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Chadam, one said Hadar, Vechadam, and the other one said Loy Hadar. Mandam, Aloy Hadar, Mandam, that says that he was Loy Hadar, he was a Melech Vehedyet. Meaning he was a king, but at the end of his life, he became a Hedyet. Umand Omar, the Mand Omar that says Hadar, that he did make a comeback, he was a Melech Vehedyet, then he became a Hedyet, Umelech, and then he became a Melech. Oh, again. So there's a lot going on in this Gemara. First of all, in terms of the background of Shlomo HaMelech losing his Malchus and then, yes, getting it back or not getting it back. So the rest of the story is the Agadat Gemara in the beginning of Perek Misha Achsu, the seventh Perek in Masech Tiskitin, where the Gemara tells the story about Ashmedai, his interaction with Shlomo HaMelech. So really, Tzarei Flakan, but Ayin Shah. That's the Makar to go through the rest of the story. Additionally, we always point out the Chad Omars and the Chad Omars. And there were three in this Gemara. Tifsach and Aza, are they next to each other? Or are they on the other side of the world? When Shlomo HaMelech said, Zeho Yechalki Mikol HaMali, was he referring to his Makal, or was he referring to Gundai? Additionally, we have over here Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, whether he was Melech Vehedyet, or whether he was Melech Vehedyet Vemelech. So, who said what as it relates to these machloikas? So this is a raid by that we've spoken about in the past. It's a related raid by to this daf. We spoke about it in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, daf Chaf Aleph. The name of the raid by is the wisest of all men. Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlomo HaMelech. All of these raid bites, of course, the Rav Reuven Margolis, are classic. This one is classic, Ben Benoishal classic. Ayin Sham, Zokta Gemara Vaita. So referring back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah talks about what it is that a melech is allowed to do, what are his rights. So the Mishnah says that he could be poiretz lasis loygeda, that he has a right to go through other people's rishus, he can confiscate properties, if it means giving himself a bigger derech. So in terms of the scope of how much a king's allowed to do, so that we saw was a major machloikis in yesterday's daf. All the things that are mentioned in Shmuel Aleph Perek Ches, that Shmuel Hanavi tells Klal Yisrael when they requested a king, that the king is going to be able to do. Is the king allowed to do that? Is he not allowed to do that? So that's a big shiloh. But the Mishnah said Mefurish, this is not a shiloh, that the king gets Pirates, Lasis, Loy, Derech. Additionally, the Mishnah said that in the event that the Yidden go to war and they bring back money and things that they confiscated, so that had to be presented to the king. So our Gemara now is going to bring a braisa that's going to talk about what does it mean that the king takes chelik berosh. Tanu Rabbanon, oitzris melachim lemelech. So in the event that Klal Yisrael fights a war and they take over the oitzris, the vaults, the safes of the kings that they conquered, so that all goes to the king. Meaning, whatever belonged to the king of the country that the Yidden conquered is going to go to the Melech Yisrael. The Shar Biza Shabbos is in, but as it relates to everything else, what they took from the Hamoinam, Mechtzel Melech u'Mechtzel La'am. Half of it goes to the king, and half of it goes to everybody else. In other words, the Braisa seems to be saying that Noite Chelek Beroish means that he gets half, and presumably he gets to pick which half he wants. But the point is, he ends up getting half. Amalei Abai the Rav Dimi, so Abai to Rav Dimi, Amalei the Rav Acha. Some say he didn't tell to Rav Dimi, he told to Rav Acha. Bishlami oisus malachim the melech, urcha the milsa. So Abai hears his braisa, and et gefrekt. He says, I understand why the oisus of the king go to the king. It makes a lot of sense. Meaning, what are the oisus malachim? Kingly things. Okay, so it's just urcha the milsa. It's just very intuitive that it should go to the melech. So elashar biza shaboizes and mechzala melech umechzala minalan. Meaning, it sounds like this is a very precise formula that we use. 50% goes to the melech, 50% goes to the am, mechatesi. Must have some sort of source. Abaya is wondering, what is the makar to this? So he was told, it says in the pasuk, vayimshechu l'Hashem l'nogid u'litzadik. So this pasuk is talking about Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech becomes the Nogid, he becomes the Melech, and Tzadik, he becomes the Kohen Gadol. Makish Nogid, the Tzadik. So we're Makish the Kohen Gadol to the Melech. Mat Tzadik, Mechzaloy, Mechzalachim. Just like the Kohen Gadol, when he divides all the Matnes Kuhuna, see, he gets half, and everybody else gets half. So we know the Kohen Gadol gets a disproportionate amount of the Matnes Kuhuna. How disproportionate? He takes 50%, and everybody else divides 50%. Af Nogid, so to the Melech, Mechzaloy, Mechzalachim. So the Makar is a pasuk. It's a pasuk discussing Shlomo HaMelech, comparing him to the Kohen Tzadik, What's the shaychus between the melech and the kohen gadol? Oh, just like the kohen gadol takes 50%, so too the melech takes 50%. Says the gemara, but tzadik gufim gadol. What's the makar that the kohen gadol gets half? The tanya we learned in a brisa, and if this sounds familiar, Maseiros Hashas says bava basra kuf mem gimel amud aleph. So even though it might feel like a lifetime ago, actually it wasn't that long ago that we learned this. Rebbe said it says in the pasuk vahoysel laharin ulavanim, referring to the lechem aponim, that it's going to go to Aharon and to his sons. And we learn from here, Aharon gets half, Mechtzel Aharon, and his sons get half, Umechtzel Levanov. Moving along. So we're going to continue to discuss different halachos related to the kings, specifically Dinei Dairaisa. So the next Mishnah discusses what is essentially a pasuk in the Torah. It's a loisaseh that's exclusive to a melech. It says in the Torah, in Parsha Shoftim, it's all in those same psukim that we went through yesterday. V'lo yarbo loy noshim, v'lo yoser levavai. The end of the pasuk is v'chesev v'zav lo yar b'loy ma'id, which we'll see more about later. But the resh of the pasuk, which is what we need now, v'lo yar b'loy noshim, v'lo yoser levavai. So pre-cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, a man midday raisa was able to marry more than one wife, and presumably there was no limit, no cap in terms of how many wives he was allowed to marry. Stating that the melech has a cap, it says in the Torah v'lo yar b'loy noshim. And then the pasuk continues and says, "V'lo yaser levavai." And we're going to see in the Gemara that the way Chazal understood the next words of the pasuk, "V'lo yaser levavai," it's the time of the krah for "V'lo yar b'lo noshim." The reason "V'lo yar b'lo noshim" is because "V'lo yaser levavai." Because we're afraid that if the king's going to have too many wives, the wives will lead him astray. And that, of course, is not a good thing. So there's a lav in the Torah that's exclusive to the king, v'lo yar b'loy noshim. And this lav is a unique lav because, contrary to almost all the lavin and the esem of the Torah, this lav has a time of the krah built into the pasuk. V'lo yaser levavai, that's the reason v'lo yar b'loy noshim. So our Mishnah is going to bring a machloikis tanna'im, machloikis Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, how to understand Pasha Pshat in this loisaseh of v'lo yar b'lo noshim v'lo yaser levavai. But before the Mishnah brings the machlokes tanan, the Mishnah is going to define what does it mean v'lo yar b'lo noshim, meaning how many is too many, says the Mishnah, lo yar b'lo noshim elo shmoneh esrei. The number is 18. Maybe remez ledavar is shmoneh esrei l'chupa, but the bottom line is 18. So that is what the number is. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Marbahu loy ubavach lo yehu mesiras eslipa." That although it says in the Torah lo yar b'loy noshim, and we have a mesiru, what does it mean lo yar b'loy noshim 18? By the way, the Gemara is going to bring brises that have different numbers. One brise is going to say 24, another brise is going to say 48. But right now we're going with the stam mishnah, which is 18. Says Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to tell you a chiddush that this is only true to the extent that the king is marrying women where there's a chashash that maybe these women will cause him to go astray. However, if he's going to marry someone that's l'chura, low risk, from the standpoint of him ending up in a matziv where he violates v'lo yasu levavai, then mar behulai. So v'lo yar b'lo yinashim v'lo yasu levavai, being that the Torah gives a reason for the layar b'lo yinashim, so we have a right then to define the lav based on the reason. Oh, if the whole reason is v'lo yasu levavai, so mar behulai, in the event that there's no chash for v'lo yasu levavai. Rav Shimon says no. Afilu achas u'mesira es libay, even if a man would king would marry one woman to the extent that there's a chashash that she may be meiser as liboy, harezer lo yisena, he'd already be over the lo yisaseh. Im kein, lo manem lo yabel lo yinashim. So what then does lo yabel lo yinashim mean? It means that afilu kavigayel. Even if he's going to be a melech like David HaMelech, who had a very righteous wife whose name was Avigail, even a situation like this with this very little risk of lo yasel avavai, afilu hachi, it's going to be awesome. In other words, according to Reb Yehuda, the only time there's an isser of v'lo yar b'lo yinashim is to the extent that there's a chashash it's going to come to v'lo yasel levavai. But if there's no concern that it's going to come to v'lo yasel levavai mar behuloi, then there's no issue. According to Reb Shimon, no. According to Reb Shimon, the number 18 is a number. and you can never ever violate that number. Afilu kavigayo, where there's a zero chash of lo yasa levavai. Why then does the Torah say v'lo yarbalei nashim v'lo yasa levavai? What the Torah is saying is that to the extent there's a chashash v'lo yasa levavai, then even if it's not a ribuy of nashim, even one isha, that in and of itself is going to be a problem. So the Gemara is going to begin now with an observation, and let's just speak out the observation bal peh, because it seems to be very, very obvious, and that is, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is being derish time of the Kra, and Rabbi Shimon is not being derish time of the Kra. Meaning, as it relates to the loisase of v'lo yar v'lo nashim, we have a Masorah 18. Says Rabbi Yehuda, it's only true if there's a chashash of v'lo yasa levavai, based on the fact that the Torah says that the tam for this iser is lo yasa levavai. Meaning, if there's a tam in the pasuk, we have a right to be derish the tam of the pasuk and come out with a grace and afkamina la'alacha, and that is that this iser is only going to be true to the extent there's a chashash. Rabbi Shimon says, no, if it says in the Torah, lo yar b'lo nashim, lo yar b'lo nashim, and afilu kavigayil is going to be a problem. Why then does the Torah say lo yasa levavai? That's a separate iser. In addition to the iser of lo yar b'lo nashim, there's also an iser to take even one isha with this chashash of lo yasa levavai. But the point is that you can't be derish time of the Kra and tell me that Layar B'Lay Nashim is because of a Layasa Levavai, and as a result, you'd be allowed to be Marba with this Nochshash Shiyu Masiris Aslipa. In other words, it sounds like according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're derish time of the Kra, and according to Rabbi Shimon, we are not derish time of the Kra. This is a problem, and the reason this is a problem is because throughout Shas, Rabbi Shimon is the Tana who's the Irish time of the Kra, and his Baal Plukta is Rabbi Yehuda who's not the Irish time of the Kra. And if that's the case, the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon in Unzira Mishnah is 180 degrees from the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon throughout Shas. That is the Gemara's first kasha. The Maimit Rabbi Yehuda the Irish time of the Kra. For Rabbi Shimon Loi the Irish time of the Kra. For Ipcha Shamin Aluhu, we know that throughout Shas, it's just the opposite, the Tanya, and really the Makar to the Machloik is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, whether we're the Irish time of the Kra, we're not the Irish time of the Kra, is a pasuk in the Torah that talks about someone who lends somebody money. So if you lend somebody money, you have a right to request a mashkin. Now we know a mashkin in the Torah is treated very different than the way we perceive collateral today. One of the differences is that to the extent that the person you took the mashkin from is an araman and needs the mashkin, so you have an obligation to make sure that he has it when he needs it. So for example, if you take a ksus laila as a mashkin, you have to return the ksus laila to the loiva every night. And if it's a ksus yoim, you have to do it every morning. These are psukim in the Torah. Now, one of the halachas related to a mashkin, it says in the Torah, v'lei sachpoil begad amon. So you state in the Torah that you're not allowed to take a mashkin that's a beged from an almana. And Pasha Pshat in the Isser is because in the event that this almana is going to be poor and you're going to be coming every morning, every evening, returning the Ksus Yoim and the Ksus Laila respectively, people are going to be Moitzi Laz on this almana and on you. Kamuvin, that's not a good thing. So it's for that reason the Torah says, it's a lav in the Torah of because of such a chash. Stating that, that segues us right into the machlokes of Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. Doesn't matter if she's an aniya or if she's an ashir. Doesn't matter if she's an aniya, that if you take a mashkin from her, you're going to be constantly in her house returning it. Or if she's an ashira and she doesn't need it. Either way, there's a lav in the Torah to take a mashkin from her. Shenemar, it says in the Torah, V'loi sachbo begad amon. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Azel Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Aymer, Rabbi Shimon said, Ashira me mashkin enoisa, Aniyah eme mashkin enoisa. No, you're allowed to take a mashkin from an almona ashira, you only can't take from an aniyah. And then he concluded very cryptically, V'atachayiv lahachsula, you have to return it to her, and you're going to cause her to have a bad reputation. So before we explain, the Bnei Yeshiva were very bothered. They said, my comma, what did Rav Shimon even mean? Meaning, he started off very straightforward. It doesn't matter if we look at whether she's an Ashir or an Aniyah. But then he concluded very unclear. So the Gemara says, Hachikam. This is what Rav Shimon meant to say. The reason it says in the Torah that you're not allowed to take a mashkin from an almana is because to the extent you take a mashkin and she's an araman, you're going to have to return it to her. And you're going to give her a bad reputation. Zok Rav Shimon, that's only a problem if she's an Aniyah. If she's an Ashira, it's not going to be a problem. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to take a mashkin from an almana. It doesn't matter if she's an Aniyah or Ashira. According to Rabbi Shimon, the only time it's going to be a problem is if she's an Aniyah, not if she's an Ashira. And Rabbi Shimon explained, it's because the whole Isser in the Torah is that Well, that's only a problem by an ani. It's not a problem in Ashira. Meaning, Reb Shimon sounds like he's being Dairish time of the crop. Reb doesn't care about the time of the crop. I understand that's the time of the crop, but it says in the Torah. What do you want me to tell you? And the Torah doesn't make a carve out, and the Torah doesn't make a distinction between whether she's an ani or Ashira. Alma, what do you see? Rabbi Huda loy Dairish time of the crop. Reb Shimon Dairish time of the crop. See, I have a steer. Rabbi Huda, Reb Shimon, as it relates to the lav of loyar beloy noshin, Rabbi Yehuda is Dairish time of the crop. Reb Shimon is not Dairish time of the crop. And as it relates to the lav of Leisach Bebegad Almona, Rabbi Yehuda is not Dairish time of the crow, and Rabbi Shimon is Dairish time of the crow. And again, to be clear, the second machloikis, as it relates to the Almona, is the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon from Shas. There's so much raid in the world of Rabbi Shimon that Rabbi Shimon is Dairish time of the crow. L'chura, our Mishnah would seem to be fakert. So the Gemara says, Ba'alma, I'll tell you, Rabbi Yehuda, lay Dairish time of the crow. This is the way you have to answer this theory. You want to know Shitas Rabbi Yehuda in Shas? He's lay Dairish time of the crow. Like, with regards to the lav of Leisach Begad Almona, and like everywhere else, Vashani Yachas, why in our Mishnah, as it relates to this pasuk, is the Dairish time of the crop? Because here it's very different. The Mefirish time of the crop, because here the pasuk says in Mefirish, Matam Leyabeloi Noshim Yishum Deleyasel Levavi. Oh, if the Torah says Mefirish, the Tam, here it's already different, right? That's a very obvious chilek. If the Torah doesn't give me the time of the crop, so then we're not Dairish time of the crop. Meaning, we're not going to make up the time of the crop and then be Dairish time of the crop. But if the Torah says the time of the crop, this is already different. Torah probably told it to me, so I should know to be able to darshan it. Rabbi Shimon Amalekha, Rabbi Shimon is going to tell you, meaning that's a good teretz for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, it's punk faker. Rabbi Shimon is always Dairish time of the crow. Here, where the Torah mentions the time of the crow, he's not Dairish time of the crow. So, Rabbi Shimon, let's see. Ba'al Modarshin, the time of the crow. My sheet is that you always Dairish time of the crow. If that's the case, why did the Torah mention the time of the crow over here? Meaning, if the Torah went to Sevel Yosel of Avay, I would have been Dairish time of the crow. If I know Amina, and I would know by myself. Why did the Torah mention La Yosser? Must be Afilu Achas, Umasira Esli, by Hareza, La Yosser. The Torah mentioning the time of the crow is extra. If it's extra, it's probably coming to teach me an extra lav. What's the extra lav? That even though the ikar lav is lo yar b'loy nashim, but even if you're not mar b'nashim, there could still be an iser. What is that one isha to the extent there's a chash of lo yasa levavai? If that's the case, elamani mekayim lo yar b'loy. Meaning, if you're telling me where there's a chash that the isha is going to be meiser asli, but it's even usher if you're not being mar b'loy, so then what does lo yar b'loy nashim mean? Right? That's the end of the cheshbon. Must be that. Feel like Abigail, even like Abigail. So the bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda Lo'olam is not the Irish time of the crow. Here it's different. Why? Because here the Torah mentions the time of the crow. Rabbi Shimon Lo'olam is the Irish time of the crow. And that's precisely why here he holds the Shita. Because Heyosi's Dairish time of the crow, he was bothered why the Torah hadn't mentioned the time of the crow. Must be to tell me that there's an Isser of Layasa Lavavi, even if you're not Marba. So what is Layarba? Oh, Layarba must mean, even with his Nokshash, Layasa. Hakol Yavoi al Mekayimai B'Shalom. Just one thing is, I think, critical to point out when you talk about the sugya being Dairish time of the crow and not being Dairish time of the crow. The machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is not whether or not there is a time of the crow. And the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is not whether or not you're allowed to understand the time of the crow. The machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is whether you can be Dairish time of the crow lahalacha, whether you can extrapolate kulas and chumras and maises and zachin based on being Dairish time of the crow. Meaning, it says in the Torah, le'yar b'loy noshim, you're going to say a chiddish, it's only true if it's an isha, then maybe there's a chashash for le'yasa levavai. Or it says in the Torah, le'sach b'begad amoni, you're going to tell me a chiddish, it's only true if she's an aniyah. Mechetesi. Meaning, you're supposed to be Dairish time of the crow in terms of Limra Torah, and understanding Tamei HaMitzvahs. The machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon is what you do with it, lahalacha. And just to prove the point, the Rambam, in a few places, I'll mention two, in the end of Hilchas Me'ila, and also in the end of Hilchas Tmur, one line, Ra'i La'adam, this is the last halach in Hilchas Me'ila, Perek Ches Halacha Ches, Ra'i La'adam lehizboinei b'mishpatei ha'toira, ha'ktoisha, v'leida soif in yonam kifi koichoi. A person is supposed to be mizboinein in the Mishpatei HaTorah and to know soif in yonam. Soif in yonam means the tam. V'dovet shelo yimotze le'tam. And let's say you're going to try your hardest and there's going to be a mitzvah that you don't know the reason. V'lo yeda le'ela al yehi kal be'enav. It shouldn't bother you, it shouldn't stare you. He talks about the Parah Aduma, the Sarah Mishtalech, Ayin Shah. In the end of Hilchas Tmura, the Rambam says it even sharper. The Rambam says, quote, Afa pisha kol chukei ha-toyr gzeiro yisein, k'moshe bi'arnu b'soif m'ilo, ro'oi lehizboinein vohem, v'chol sh'ata yochel litein loitam, tein loitam. So there's an avoida, there's a mitzvah for a person to know the Tamei HaMitzvahs. The Rambam, of course, was a no doyresh v'no mekayim. The Rambam wrote the Mar Nevuchim, of which a good chelik of it is being derish time at the kra, not the Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon sense, but in terms of understanding Tamei HaMitzvos, some of the Tamei HaMitzvos that the Rambam gives in the Meira are legendary. But the point is, the Rambam went to great lengths to try to explain to mortals the Tamei HaMitzvah, because that's for sure a good thing. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon is what exactly you do with that. Either way, so the Mishnah said Lo Yarbo Lo Noshim Ela Shmoyne Esra. Says the Gemara, Hana Shmone Esrei Minah. What's the Makar to 18? So it seems like the Stam Mishnah holds 18. The Sama Sayer to this. Is there a Makar? Yes. The Chsiv, it's learned out from a Pasuk. And this Pasuk is in Shmuel Beis. It's Perek Gimel. And the Pasuk over there is discussing the children of David HaMelech. So it says as follows, Vayivoldu leDavid banim b'chevron. So we spoke about this yesterday. David HaMelech was king in Chevron for 7.5 years before he became Melech Yisrael. And when he was in Chevron, he had sons. Vayihi b'chayroi. His oldest son was Amnon. More about Amnon later in the Daf. La'achinoyam ha'yizraelis. U'mishneu kilov. La'vigayel eshes naval ha'karmeli. Vashlishi af Shalom, of Avshalom fame, Ben Macha, Bas Talmai, Melech Kishur, Vahreviya, Adoniyo, Ben Chagis, Vahamishi, Shvatya, Ben Avital, Vahashishi, Yisram, Le'egla, Ishes, David, Elul, Yuldu, Le David, Bechevron. Why is Shlom HaMelech not mentioned there? Because he wasn't born in Chevron. Right? David HaMelech has more family. But these psukim are describing the children that he had in Chevron. Now, if you do the math, he had 6 wives. From which he had these 6 children, says the Gemara. So you see that David HaMelech had 6 wives when he was in Chevron. The Kamale Navi, and the Navi told David HaMelech, and this was right after the story of Bathsheba, when Nosan HaNavi comes and he gives him Teichacha, and he says, I understand, Hashem gave you so much. You have so much Ashiras that you need to go ahead and take away the little bit that someone else has, right? You had to go steal Bathsheba from her husband Uriachiti, etc., etc. And this is the lashon of the Navi. In ma'at for isifalach kehena v'kehena. What? If it's so little that you have, I'm willing to be moisif to you what you have and nocham. Kehena v'kehena. Says the Gemara, David HaMelech had 6 wives. So kehena, another 6 would mean another shis. For kehena shis, tavlu tamni sris. You see from here, from Nos and Anavi's words, that the Eivish says, I'm willing to give you kehena v'kehena, that he could have had up to 18 wives. Ask of the Ravino. So Ravino asked the Kasha, emo kehena tarti sri. Maybe the first kehena means David HaMelech has 6. Kehena is another 6 will be 12. Then the kehena is on the cumulative, it's on the 12, which would mean Esim V'Arba. Maybe it should be 24. So the Gemara interrupts and says, you know something, Ravina, your kasha has merit. In fact, Tanya Namayach, it's a brisa. Liyabra Le'noshem, Yoisim Me'esim V'Arba. So the Manda Darish Vav, according to Manda Manda Darshin's Vav in Shas, so Kehena should be another 6. The Vav of Vichahena should now be another 12. And then the last Kehena should be another 24. And if that's the case, Arbam V'Shmoinava, shouldn't it be 48? I mean, if you're Darish Vav, so is the number 48? The Gemara says, yeah, there's merit to that, by the way. Tanya Nam Yochi, it's a braisa. Le'yabu le'noshim yoyser me'arbam u'shmayna zokta gemara v'tana didam. What's pshad in unzer tana? My time, eh? Meaning, kohena v'chohena is 18. I don't know. Sounds to me like it should be either 24 or 48. Amar Rav Kahana said, makash kehena basul kehena kamo. Kehena kamo shiz. Just like the first kehena is 6. That's everyone agrees. Av kehena basul shiz. So too, the second kehena is going to be 6 as well. The bottom line is, what's the makar to Le'yarbe Le'noshim Elo Shmoyne Esrei Kohena V'Kohena? And by the way, Kohena V'Kohena might mean 24 and it might mean 48, and there are braises that support that. But the Gemara asks Akasha, is that true that David HaMelech only had 18 wives? Meaning, you can't have more than 18 wives? V'avoy Michal. What happened to Michal? Amar Rav. So Rav said, Eglo Zu Michal. Egla is Michal. V'lama nikra shma egla shechaviva olav ke'egla. Meaning, one of the wives that were already mentioned is Michal, right? Who's Michal, by the way, of Daf Yotes fame, right? Michal Bashol. One of the wives already mentioned is Michal. Which wife is that? It's Egla. And the reason Michal is referred to as Egla is shechaviva olav ke'egla. V'cheinu oimer, and there's a makar that if someone has a wife that's very chaviv to him, he would refer to her as an egla, as the pasuk says, lule charashtem beeglasi. Rashi says Shimshon referred to his wife as his egla. So apparently that's an expression that we use. So the Gemara wanted to know what happened to Michal, and the Gemara says, no, don't worry about Michal. Egla is Michal. Did Michal have any sons? Meaning, if egla is Michal, so the pasuk mentions the child that Egla head. Vashishi Yisra'am le Egla Eishas David. Freit the Gemara. But we know the pasuk says, Lemicha Basholoi Hayola Vlad Adyoy Moisa. She never had any children. Amr Avchiz. Avchiz said, Adyoy Moisa Le Hayola. Biyoy Moisa Hayola. It's true. Up until the day that she died, she didn't have any children. But Biyoy Moisa, then she had a child. But the Gemara says, 1 second. Mechdi. Bonim Hecha Kachash of Lubechevet. You're telling me that Egla's Micha. And when did Egla have a child in Chevron, because that's what the pasuk is describing. Yet the story of Michal happened when? In Yerushalayim. Meaning the story that caused Michal not to have any children is a story that took place in Yerushalayim. The pasuk says, Michal bashal, nishkofa bada chaloyim, vateres ha-melech David, mefazes u-mecharki lefnei Hashem vatives. Right? This is a famous pasuk. The pasuk says that David ha-melech was dancing by the Aron, and she didn't like the way David ha-melech was dancing, and she rebukes him for what it is that he did, and because of that she was punished, and the punishment was that she wasn't going to have any children. Rabbi Yehuda said shkolta Michal mitrafsa, that Michal got what was coming to her, meaning it was because of this maisa that it was nigza that she wasn't going to have any children. Meaning you're telling me that Michal had a child b'yoy maisa, right? What's the kasha? The kasha is we're saying Michal's Egla has a child in heaven. I thought Michal doesn't have any children, not Yoy Moisa, that she had a child. But if the reason she didn't have any children is because of what happened with David, then it's not mistaber that after the Moisa of David, she would have had a child. Right? That's just not mistaber. So why would it be that Yoy Moisa she had a child? Ela Emo says the Gemara, Ad Oisei Moisa Hoyola Mikam Ve'elech Loi Hoyola. Just the opposite. She had a child, but the child that she had was Ad Oisei Moisa Mikam Ve'elech. It's from that point moving forward that she didn't have any children. So again, what happened to Michal? Michal and Egla are one and the same. Michal had no children. After the Maisa, she didn't have any children. But up until that Maisa, she did have children. But the Gemara asks another kasha. The pasuk says, "Vayikach David oit palakshim v'noshim b'Yerushalayim." It says that David HaMelech took palakshim and he took noshim in Yerushalayim. So, what are all these wives? I thought you're not allowed to have more than 18 wives. So the Gemara says, "What's the kasha?" L'mluyish mayne esrei. It means to make up the number 18. In other words, the pasuk described 6 wives that David HaMelech had when he was in Chevron. Right, the Gemara, he took all these other Noshim and Palakshim. Yeah, what's the Kasha? We know of 6, there's another 12 that he's still allowed to marry. And being that he's allowed to marry another 12, those 12 are going to make up the Noshim and the Palakshim that Pasuk over there is referring to. It says the Gemara, my Noshim and my Palakshim. What's the difference between Noshim and Palakshim? I'm reviewing my Rav. Noshim b'ksuba u'b'kedushim. An Isha is a woman that has ksuba and kedushim. So, Kedushin as in Ho'isha Niknes, Bekesh Shtar Biya, and Ksuba. Palakshim is Beloy Ksuba, Beloy Kedushin. We're going to get back to that soon. But the bottom line is, I just want to recap this last Gemara because it's a little bit tricky. I'm Ben Rasha. So, the Gemara said like this, that David HaMelech had 6 wives in Chevron. Kahena v'kahena, that's how we learn 18 or 24 or 48, right? That's what all these numbers are based. Freit the Gemara Kash. What happened to Michal? Gemara says, a whole shtukal Torah. Michal is Egla. Then the Gemara said, what happened to the pasuk that says that he had Noshim u'Pilakshim? Zok the Gemara, no, that's only Lemluyeh the 18. Freak the Marsha, you just have to go through this Marsha for Pasha Pshan in the Gemara. It's literally the Pasha Pshan in the Gemara. It was hard to read the Gemara without speaking out the Marsha in real time. And that is that if we know David HaMelech had additional wives, the pasuk says in Mefurish, and it doesn't bother us because it's Limluye the Yud Ches. So why did the whole Michal Kasha bother us? Right. The Gemara is the Kasha. What happened to Michal? What do you mean? We know of 6. He's allowed to have at least 18. So Limluye the Yud Ches. That's where Michal is. Let Michal not be Egla. Why does Michal have to be Egla? Right. Gemara has a problem with Michal being Egla because Michal, as far as we know, has no children. And Egla has a child. And the Gemara has to say, Ad Yoy Moisa, the Gemara is not even sure what that means. But Freit the Marsha, just in Pashup chat, just like we know this additional Noshim and Palakshim from the other Pesukim, let Michal be the same thing. So the Marsha says, it's Pashup, you have to say, that when the Gemara asked the Kasha, what happened to Michal, the Gemara doesn't mean that if we know of 6, how could it be you can't have more than 18? I Michal. What do you mean? From 6 to 18, there's another 12, like the Gemara is about to say. The Gemara's Kasha is that David HaMelech was married to Michal already in Chevron. How do you know that? Because we know the story of when David married Michal. It's when Shaul HaMelech gave David Michal. And that story happened before Chevron. If that's the case, that means in Chevron, David HaMelech doesn't have 6 wives. He has 7 wives. And if that's the case, it throws the whole formula off. Because then Kahena v'Kahena is not going to be 6 times 3. It should be 7 times 3. And the number should be 21. Or it should be 42. Or do the math, right? But the bottom line is, freik the Gemara, that if the whole cheshbin of 18 is based on 6 wives in Chevron, Vahavi Michal. So the Gemara's Kasha of Vahavi Michal is not the same Kasha as the Gemara's Kasha of David HaMelech took Oit Palakshem Venoshem. The Kasha of Michal is a Kasha on the 6 wives of Chevron. There's really a 7th wife in Chevron. And if that's the case, the whole number should be a different number. Then the Gemara says, what happened to Vayikach David Oit Palakshem Venoshem? Sounds like a lot. So the Gemara, no, it's not as many as you think. It's just to fill up the number. 18, which was, he was allowed to have. More than that, not Zok Tigmar. Amr Abhidam Arab. Arba Meis Uladam Hayo Leilu David. David HaMelech had 400 children. Vikula B'nei Yifas Toyer Hayo. And they were all the sons of a Yifas Toyer, right? And they had this blurious, so this was an old antiquated chop that the big tough guys used to have. And they would ride on golden chariots. And these were chevre that went in the head of the army. These were the elite groups of fighters in David HaMelech's military. Who are they? These are 400 children, kulam b'nei yifas toyer. We're going to get back to this as well. V'am Rav Yehuda Marav. Tomar bas yifas toyer ha'isam. On the topic of the 400 children of David that were b'nei yifas toyer, says the Gemara, you should know that Tamar, who was David HaMelech's daughter, was also the daughter of a yifas toyer. And the Gemara is going to go now and tell us how it is we know that Tamar was a child of a yifas toyer. But before we do that, we have to introduce the story of Tamar, as the Gemara now is going to spend a third of an Amid darshaning these psukim. So this Tamar that we're about to learn with now should not be confused with the Tamar who is mentioned in Barshas Vayeshev in the context of Yehuda, the son of Yaakov. So this is the Tamar, as in the other Tamar of Nach, that's mentioned in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Gimel. So the pasuk says as follows, Vayihi acherechein, ulav sholem ben David, Achos Yafa, Avshalom, David HaMelech's son, had a sister. She was Yafa. Ushma Tamar, her name was Tamar. Vayehaveha Amnon ben David. And David HaMelech's son, Amnon, loved her very, very much. So David HaMelech has a son, Amnon, from one of his wives. He has a son, Avshalom, for another one of his wives. That son, Avshalom, has a sister. Her name is Tamar. And Amnon was Oyev Tamar. Their brother and sisters, min ha'av. Vayetze la'amnoin le'hischalois bavru Tamar achoisai. And it started bothering Amnoin so much, the ahava that he had for his sister Tamar. He was cholos ahava. Ki besulohi vayipoli be'enei Amnoin lasis la'muma. And he was trying to strategize, try to come up with a way that he would be able to be ma'anis Tamar. Ula Amnon Reya, Amnon had a friend, Ushmo Yoinadav ben Shima Achi David, and his name was Yoinadav ben Shima, Yoinadav Ish Chacham Oid, and this Yoinadav was a very, very clever person. Vayomer Loi, Yoinadav sees Amnon, his good friend, and he says, Madua Atokochel Dal ben Amelech. He says, I understand, you look shvach, something's wrong. Baboike, baboike, aloi tagili, tell me, what's going on? Vayomer Loi Amnon. So Amnon says, you know, I have to be honest with you. As Tamar Achois Avshalom Ochi Ani Oye, I have tremendous ahava for my sister Tamar. And that's the way I look, the way I look. So Yonadav said, I have an idea for you. You should make believe that you're sick. And they're going to call your father, David, to come check up on you. And when your father comes, you should tell him, I think that I need my sister Tamar to take care of me. She should feed me. Like this, I'm going to get better. I wanted to cook food for me. Like this, I think that's when I need to have a refuf. So Amnon heard this idea that Yonadav gave him, and he thought it was a fantastic idea. So he makes believe he's sick. So the king comes to see him, Vayomer Amnon el HaMelech, and Amnon told the king, Tavoy na Tamar Achoisi, Usalabiv le'inai shtei levivois, Ve'ever miyada, I wanted to make me these two levivois, right, two levivot, whatever exactly they are, and that's what's going to make me better. David heard the idea, and he says, you know something, it's a good idea. So he goes home, and he tells Tamar, his daughter, I want you to take care of my son, Amnon, he's your brother, make sure that he gets better, feed him, I want you to be together with him. Either way, so she comes, and she prepares food. And after she prepares the food, I'm skipping a little bit, Amnon tells all the people that are in the room that I want you to all leave. As soon as they leave, Amnon tells Tamar, I want you to bring the food to me, hacheder, in one of the inner rooms. Because that's where I'm going to be more comfortable. That's where I want to eat the food. Vatikach Tamar salavivois asher asasa, vatovei la'amnon ochia hachadra. Says the pasuk. Vatagesh elav lechel. At that point, she brought the food to him. Vayechsek ba, Amnon grabbed her. Vayomela, and he told her, boi shichvi imi achoisi. Don't do this to me. What you want to do is disgusting. Please don't do this. If you're going to do this, you're going to be like one of the prostitute people in Klal Yisrael. If you want, now get ready for this pasuk. Speak to the king. Meaning, if you want to marry me, marry me. Let's talk to the king. But don't do this to me. Don't be ma'anis me. This is not something you should do. They're going to get married, the brother and sister, right? He didn't want to listen to her. He was ma'aneser, vayishka voisa. The pasuk says, after he was vayishka voisa, vayisno'er amnoin sinu gedoyla miyoy. He had a tremendous sinner for her. Ki gedoyla hasina asher sneyo, me'ahaver asher ahevo. And the pasuk goes to great lengths to talk about the sinner. That as much as he loved Tamar lechatchila, that's how much more he hated her now. Vayomela amnoin, get up and leave. What you're doing to me now, the way you're throwing me out is even worse than what you did to me when you were ma'anis me. He didn't listen to her. Right? He calls one of his mesharis and he says, throw her out of the house and make sure you lock the door behind her. Now this Tamar, she was wearing a ksenis pasen. Because this was the royal garb. This is what all the daughters of the kings used to wear. She put Ephra on her head. And she tore the ksenis pasen that she was wearing. And she put her hand on her head. She started walking and she started screaming. All of a sudden her brother Avshalom sees her and says, Tamar, what happened? Is everything okay? She says, no. He says, what happened? And he tells her what happened. Avshalom went, told his father David. David was very, very angry. The pasuk says, Vayichaloy ma'oid regarding David. But Avshalom was even angrier than that. And Avshalom says, right now we're not going to say anything, but the day is going to come that I'm going to take revenge. And then if you continue along in the psukim, it's already beyond the scope of what we need for today's daf. Avshalom ends up killing Amnon, taking revenge for what he did to his sister, Tamar. Either way, the Gemara now is going to darshan a lot of the psukim that we just read. Zokt the Gemara. So the Gemara mentioned the story with Amnon and Tamar. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rabbi Yehuda sent the name of Rav. An observation. Tamar basifas toyer hoysa. Tamar's mother was yefastar. Meaning, we just mentioned that David HaMelech had 400 sons. V'kulam b'nei yefastar hein. So clearly David HaMelech had married yefastars. Zok Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Tamar was one of the offspring of those yefastars. How do I know that? Shenemar. Because the pasuk says, V'ata, what does Tamar tell Amnon? Daber no el HaMelech, ki lo yimno eini mimecho. Now, if you're going to tell me that Tamar is David's daughter from a regular marriage, so what's the have mean in the world that David HaMelech is going to officiate this marriage between a brother and a sister? Oh, Ella, Shma Mina Basi Fastoyer. So must be she was a daughter of a Fastoyer. Fastoyer's mother is not Jewish, means there's an element of Geiris. Hell, if there's an element of Geiris, she's a Geiris, Geiris is Geiris. Cotton Chanel, I'll be like, this wasn't going to be a problem. But it's Muchach from that one pasuk, hence the segue, that must be what happened, says the Gemara. Right, that's what the pasuk said. This Yoinadav was very, very wise, and he gives Amnon this eitzah, make believe you're deathly ill. Tamar's going to take care of you, and that's the way you'll be able to get what you want to get. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Again, Rav Yehuda sends the name of Rav. What does it mean? He was an ish chacham ma'oid. He was an ish chacham lerisha. What it means is he was wise, but he was wise in a bad way. The Marsha. And this Gemara says, Milas Chacham Nemer B'chol Mokon. Whenever you find the word Chacham, so what does it mean? It means it's Hamachkin B'Daita B'Dovish In Shar Kolam Yardin L'Soif Daita. Right? The Mashal explains, what does it mean to be a Chacham? What does it mean to be smart? It means that you're able to be Yorid L'Soif Daita Shal Inyin where other people are not allowed to. That's his definition. Ach, says the Marshal, Al Haroiv Nemer B'machkin L'Toif. In most cases, it's referring to someone that's a Chacham in a good way. Masha enkein hocha, and that's the chiddush of this pasuk. That's what Rida Marab was coming to say, that he was an ish chacham, but it was larisha. Because over here, as it relates to Yom Yadav, loimatsinu shum chacham lehetiv ach lahara yadav. The only thing you find is that he was a chacham lahara. So ordinarily, when you talk about someone that's a chacham, it means he's a chacham l'toiv. Right, he's contributing to society with his chachma. But every now and again, you find someone that's a Baal Kishrin, he's very, very smart, but the guy's a dreikup, and this is a guy that somehow knows how to be a genius when it comes to bad things. He has no chachma, he's poshut and ignoramus when it comes to good, but when it comes to ra, the guy's about kishrin nifla. He has nun share bina. Says the Marsha, that's this Indian. That's what Yudam Rabbah was coming to say, that this Yoynada was chacham ma'oy. But you want to know what it means? He was chacham ma'oy. He was chacham ma'oy in a bad way. If you take a look at Targum Yonason Ben Azil on the Pasik, Vahanochash Hoya Arum Mikol Chayas Hazada. Right, the Pasik says that the Nochash was Arum Mikol Chayas Hazada. So Unkala says, what does it mean that he was Arum? He was Arum. V'chivya hava chakim. He was very, very smart. Yonason Ben Azil says, V'chivya hava chakim lebish. There's a musig of a chacham lerat. Mamish this Gemara. There's a concept, he was a chacham lerat. Nobody says that you'd want to learn b'chavrusa with the Nachash. He's a chacham l'rad. There's such a metzias of a chacham l'rad. It's mamish targum. The targum says chakim l'bish. Adds one extra word. That's this drasha that Rabbi Yudam Arav said. Either way, vayoy merloy. So what is the yonadav tell amdim? Adu at the kocha dal ben amelech. Right, vayoy merloy yonadav shchacham mishkocha v'hoschel v'goymer ad v'osiso le'enai esha birya v'tikach esha mashreis v'titzoy klofonov. Skipping psukim, the Gemara is, but the point is, this is the whole story. Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Shavidah Amar Rav said, she'asla mine tigon, she made from fried food. Okay, synagogue. So first, Amlin has this tremendous ahava for Tamar. And afterwards, it converts from ahava to sinah. And the sinah was so gadol that it was more than the ahava that he originally had. Amar Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak said, what happened? Nima nikshaloi v'asosai krushofcha. What happened was, there was a here that she had ba'isam makim, and it got tied to his ever atashmish. He became a krushifcha, and it's because of that, he hated her so much. Meaning, the way the Gemara is presenting it now, it sounds like it was a mistake. So why would he hate her so much? You have to edit it a little bit. You have to say that what it means is kashra leinima v'asase krushavcha. Didn't happen by mistake, but she actually did it on purpose. That was the revenge that she took on Amnon. Any freighting Gemara, but that's Rava. Rava said, "Magdus, what's from the pasuk that says vayetzi loch shein bagoyim biyofiyeh, referring to the beauty of the Bnei Yerushalayim, shein lem Bnei Yisrael loy sar beis hashechi v'loy beis ha'erva." So if they have no sar beis ha'erva, how did this even happen? Shani Tamar zok the Gemara the basi fas toyer Rava, because we already said she was a basi fas toyer, and because she was a basi fas toyer, so it's for that reason. And Shitaka didn't have that skula that's mentioned in that pasuk. So the pasuk says that initially Amlin has tremendous ahava for Tamar, and then because of what she did to him, it converts from ahava to sinna, and the sinna that he had was worse than the ahava that he initially had. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, it's Perikei Mishnah Tezayin. Kol ahava she tluya bedavar batal davar batal ahava. The she'ena tluya bedavar ena betela la'olam. Zok the Mishnah ezo yahava tluya bedavar. So ahavas Amnon v'tamar. V'she'eno tluya b'davar, so ahavas David v'yoynesan. So we all know the Mishnah. This is the mashal. This is the example of ahava tluya b'davar. The whole ahava was tluya in what? It was tluya in taiva. And once it was batal the taiva, some was batal the ahava. Now, based on the way the Gemara explains it, what happened? He became a krushavcha. Oh, he became a krushavcha, so it wasn't even a gay of the taiva anymore. So if it's not a gay of the taiva anymore, then it's certainly moving me'elav. Why it was batal adavar, but that's the point. Batal adavar, at that point already, it's going to be batal da hava. One more pasuk. So she goes outside and she lets everybody know what happened, right? She didn't hide it. She was very, very open about it. When Tamar did that, she did something unbelievable. She created a tremendous preventative geder for something like this to never happen again. Amru, they said, meaning, if a bas melech this could happen to, people are afraid to chap it with a bas melech. Kal v'chomer, someone that's not a bas melech. And im l'tznuois kach, she was a tznuah, l'frutzois alachas kama v'kama. And people started being more careful when it came to these types of inyonim, specifically yichud. In fact, Rav Yudah Merav, famous gemara, Oysa Shagaz, was at that time that the Chachamim made a gzeira ala yichud the ala pnuya. They made a gzera on yichud and pnuya. Rashi says, what does it mean, ala yichud and ala pnuya? It means they were gzera on yichud of an ishes ish and on yichud of a pnuya. This is when they made the gzera of yichud. Freit the Gemara, yichud, deiraiso. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Amrav yechim mishum rabshim ben yitzadok. Remez li yichud minatay minayim. What's a remez to yichud in the Torah? Shem, the pasuk says, ki yisischa achicha ben imecha. So the pasuk's talking about a meses umadiach. Right? Someone's going to come to you, he's going to say, nelchav and avdelihim achir. That's what the pasuk's talking about. It says, who's going to be meses you? Your maternal brother, your brother who's ben imecha. So the Gemara asks, v'chi ben e meses, ben av eino meses? Meaning, you want to tell me your brother's going to be meses? You say, your brother, why are you getting involved? It's your maternal brother. El, it's coming to teach me Allah. Lo imelecha ben misyachid im imoy, or b'vein achar misyachid im kol ha'raisha b'teira. A son's allowed to be with his mother, but a person's not allowed to be miyachid with another one of the arayas. Being that a son's allowed to be miyachid with his mother, so if you have a woman who has two sons, it's Yitachin, they're all living together. But if you have a father that has two sons from different wives, it's mistaber than not living together. And the reason is because the wife, the stepmother, is an erva, and there's an issa yichud with an erva. But what do you see from here? That there's an issa yichud midai raisa. So how could you tell me, they were gozru yichud? There was always yichud. Ele'ema, the Gemara says, gozru yichud the pnuya. It's true. Yichud, as it relates to yichud of arayas, that's already midai raisa. But yichud pnuya, this is something that was nischadish after the story of Amnon and Tamar. V'adoniyah ben Chagis misnase lemar ani emlech. So on the topic of David HaMelech's children. So one of his sons, one of his more famous sons is Adoniyah, or Adoniyah. Om Rav Yudah my Rav. So what does it mean he wanted to be king? Melamed shebikish lahomai v'loy homnesai. So Rashi says there was a mesorah that the crown of David HaMelech, so there was a rod that went where you would put your head. And the only way it would fit is if somebody had some indentation in his head that was going to match the rod. And there was some Messiah that David HaMelech, the next king, would be the one that had that same anomaly in his head. And Adoniyo thought that he had it, and he tried putting this crown on Abulamais of Lehomasai, it didn't work. Another pasuk related to Adoniyo, Vayasle Rechev Ufaroshim, Vechamishim Ish, Rotzen Lefanov. Says the Gemara, my Revu. So what's the big deal? Adoniyo has people that are running in front of him. Meaning, yeah, he's a Ben Melech. Every Ben Melech has it. Sounds like there's something newsworthy over here. I'm Rav Yudah my Rav. So Rav Yudah said the name of Rav. Now, there was a chiddush about these chevra because kulam netuleit chayil. Number one, they all were missing their spleens. Vechakukei chapeis raglayim hoyu. And they didn't have the flesh on the bottom of their feet. The idea was these people were able to run faster and they were tougher because of this operation that they went through, Ayin Rashi, but that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is not just that he had 50 henchmen. The Chiddush is that these 50 people didn't have spleens and they had done this operation on their feet to make them very, very macho. Either way, just to come up a breath for a second and just to speak out one important ha'ara, and that is the Gemara mentioned that David HaMelech had Noshim Upilakshim. And the Gemara said, "My noshim u my pilakshim." Om Rav Yudah Marav, noshim b'ksuba u b'kedushin, pilakshim b'loy ksuba u b'loy kedushin. So this is one line in Shas that defines pelegesh. So what's a pelegesh? We know what an ish is. What's a pelegesh? Pelegesh is loy ksuba and loy kedushin. Truth is, if you take a look at the Rambam in his Yad Chazaka, this is in Hilchas Malachim, it's Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet. So Rambam is talking about a king. And the Rambam says, V'chein lekeach mikol gvul Yisrael noshem u'palakshem. A king's allowed to marry noshem and palakshem. Zok the Rambam, what are noshem and palakshem? Noshem are b'ksuba b'kedushim, u'palakshem is b'loy ksuba b'loy kedushim. Ela b'yichud b'lvad koina oisa u'mutarisa. Is miyachit with her umuterasai. So the Rambam, quoting our Gemara, this one line in Shas, Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, says, what is the definition of a pelegesh? Kings allowed to have palakshim. What it means is, it means there's no ksuba and there's no kedushim. Rashi in Chumash, in Parshas Chayesara. So it's in the end of Parshas Chayesara where the pasuk talks about that Avram Avinu had palakshim. Ulevnea palakshim asher laAvram, says Rashi. What are palakshim? Quote, noshim b'ksuba, palakshim b'loy ksuba. K'derminu b'sanhedrin, b'noshim u'palakshim d'david. So Rashi teaches, what's a pelegesh? A pelegesh is no ksuba. Dr. Ramban, it sounds like Rashi holds that a pelegesh had kedushin. There's just no ksuba, right? What's Rashi's lashon? Nashim b'ksuba, pelagshim b'loy ksuba. Aba zok Ramban ve'in adavar kein. Ki lo yisikarei pelagesh ela kshi b'loy kedusha. There also has to be no kedushin. Ki ksuba, says Ramban, the determining factor can't be the ksuba. Why not? Because the whole ksuba is midivrei seifim. The whole concept of ksuba is a derabbanan. V'hagirsa b'sanhedrin, says the Ramban, is pelagesh b'loy ksuba. The kedushin. There's no ksuba and there's no kedushin. So the Gemara says, what's a pelegesh? There's no ksuba and there's no kedushin. Rash, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim Perek Halacha Dalet says the same thing. Rashi says, no, there is kedushin. Doesn't say it mefurish. That's the way the Ramban understands Rashi. There's only no ksuba. And the Ramban says, what do you mean, Rashi? You forgot. It's a mefurish Gemara. The Gemara says that there's no kedushin, no ksuba either. In other words, it sounds like it's a machlokes rishonim. The Rambam and the Ramban both hold that a pelegesh has no kedushin and no ksuba, whereas Rashi holds that there's kedushin, the only determining factor is that there is no ksuba. But the truth is, there's another Rambam. And this other Rambam is a very, very famous Rambam. It's in Hilchas Ishus. It's Perek Aleph Halacha Dal. The Rambam says, Koidema an Torah, Hoya Adam Pegeya Isha Beshok, Imratza Hu Vihi, Noisin La Schara, Uboya Loisal Emader Chahilachlai. Before the Torah was given, so there was no concept of kedushin. So Hoya Adam Pegeya Isha Beshok, and Imratza Hu Vihi, Noisin La Schara, Uboya Loisal Emader. The Zu says the Rambam, he an ekras kedesha. It's what we know as a kedesha. Mishanit na Torah nesra ha kedesha shenemar loitia kedesha mibnois Yisrael. But now this is something that's aser, and the reason it's aser is because it's a kedesha. Freik the Ravid on this Rambam, again, it's from the most famous machlokes in Rambam Ravid. Freik the Ravid on the Rambam says, I don't understand. You're telling me today it's aser for a person to be pegei isha b'shuk and imratza hu vihi noisin l'schara? I don't think that's aser. Isn't that a pelegesh? That's what a pelegesh is. So if that's a pelegesh, that can't be a kedesha. So what's a kedesha? A kedesha is a zoyna. A kedesha is someone that's mafkeres atzma. She's someone that makes herself hefker lakoil, esnan zoyna, right? But stam, if it's a relationship between an isha and an isha, just because there's no kedushin and there's no ksuba, that doesn't make it aser. That's what we know as a pelegesh. And it's a mefurish gemara. Says the Ravid, it's mistaber that the Rambam had a different girsa than the Gemara Sanhedrin. And the Rambam's girsa in the Gemara Sanhedrin must have been, what's a pelegesh? It's kedushin b'loy ksuba. Whose girsa is that? Seemingly Rashi's girsa in Chumash. But Dr. Rabbi, that must be what the Rambam held. Freik the Kesef Mishnah. B'mechilas kvoy teirasi shall arrive if you got another Rambam. The Rambam said mefurish in Perek Da Lachad Da Hilchas Malachim that what's the definition of a pelegesh? It's no ksuba and it's no kedushin. So it's mefurish in the Rambam that the definition of a pelegesh is no ksuba, no kedushin. So how could the Ravid go and say a shtikl Torah that the Rambam must have held from the fact that he says that lachem an Torah it's also for a person to be pegei isha b'shuk im ratzo huve hi noisla schar bar loisa? It must be. Why is there not a pelegesh? Pelegesh has kedushin. The Rambam said before it's not that way. So Zok Ketzmish, the how you answer the Ravid's kasha. L'chayra, there's a parasha pelegesh, says the Ravid achidish. He says the Rambam must have held that even though there's a parasha pelegesh, but a pelegesh is only mutter for a melech. Only a king is allowed to have a pelegesh. But someone that's not a melech is not allowed to have a pelegesh. And it's true. In Paga, Isha b'shukim ratzu hu vihi, is a bechin of pelegesh, maybe. But at the same time, it's also mishnit in the Torah. I'm pelegam, that's negei melech. V'har raya, what does the Rambam bring the halacha of pelegesh? He brings it in Perek Dalet, halacha Dalet, and Hilchas Melachim. Either way, this is a very, very big shaila, whether the halacha of pelegesh is only negei melech, whether it's negei shar ha'am. What's the definition of pelegesh? Is there kedushin? Was there really no kedushin? It's Yedua, the tshuva for Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Shelo Siyavitz Chelik Beis Alocha Tezvav. But the point is this is a big inyan. But again, it comes from one line in Shas. It's this Gemara right here in Masechta Sanhedrin. I think just to know the pashup shat befrat two girsois. Whether the right girs in the Gemara is that a pelegesh is no kedushin and no ksuba, or whether the right girs in the Gemara is that a pelegesh is yes kedushin and the only nafkamina is that there is in fact no moving along. Dr. Mishnah. So the first Mishnah that we learned today was discussing the lav in the Torah that says lo yarbaloi noshen. The Torah also says lo yarbaloi susen. And in that pasuk of lo yarbaloi susen, there's also a time of the krah. It says in the pasuk, Rak lo yarbaloy susim, v'lo yoshev es ha'om mitzrayma, l'man harboy sus, v'ashem amar lochem, lo yisoy sifun loshev v'aderech hazeroyd. So it's a little bit of a tricky pasuk, but essentially what the pasuk is saying is that there's a law for the king to have too many horses. And here too, we have a reason. The reason is because the horses used to come from Mitzrayim. That's where the best horses were. Mifchar Shalisha, that's where it came from. So we're concerned that if you're going to have too many horses, you may end up going back to Mitzrayim. And this is something that we know the Torah, Hashem already commanded, you're not allowed to do. Then the pasuk also said, V'kesev ezov lo yarba lo ma'oid. Something we'll see more about tomorrow. Either way, so the mission. So you're not allowed to have too many susim. And what does it mean, too many susim? It means kedei merkaftai. So you're allowed to have what the king needs for his military, but more than that's already too much. What does that mean? Meaning all the money that he needs to pay the expenses of running a country, that you're allowed to have. But more money than that, that's already not okay. Literally, aspanya means to pay the chayalim. But the point is not just that. It means you're allowed to have the money that you need, but more than that's already not okay. He's allowed to write a Sefer Torah for himself. He always took the Sefer Torah with him, even went to war with it. If he's sitting at din, he imoy. Mesef, if he's reclining, he connects. It says in the Torah, if you look at the Merkab, for us, you would think that he can't have even the susim that he needs just to run a business. Talmud loy mar loy. What does that word loy mean? For himself, he's not allowed to have too many. But for richbayu for us, that's already okay. So, why then, meaning, what does it say? What does it mean when it says loy arba loy susim? It means susim habatlanim. Susim not doing anything. Meaning loy susim habatlanim. That's the problem. Now, minayin shafilu sus echav ubatul shub layarba. How do you know that the iser is even to have one sus too many, as opposed to two or multiple? Talmud loy melaman harbois sus. Because the pasuk specifically uses a lashon yachid. Rak layarba loy susim. V'layoshev es amitzrayim melaman harbois sus. Being that Torah uses a lashon yachid, you learn from there even a sus echav. Meaning, you see from there even one. Freit gemar v'chemiyachet afilu sus. If you tell me that even one sus is too many, so why do you say layarba loy susim? Say layarba loy sus. Laver beloy sase al kol sus. For every single sus, the person's going to be over loy sase. So again, what's the iser? The iser is to have one sus too many, but what does it mean too many? More than what you need to run your army. So obviously for the army you're allowed to have. Where do you see that? Rak layarba loy. How do you know even one sus is too many? Leman harboy sus, lashon yachid. Why then does it say rak liyarba loy susim to teach me a chiddush that you're over for every single sus? Okay, my time because of rachmano loy. Halav hachi, have a minute of filvik, they rich by you farashav nami loy? Meaning, it sounds like without the word rak liyarba loy, you would think that the king's not going to have susim that he even needs for his military. How could that be? Right? Loy tells me personal stuff, you can't have too many. But otherwise, you could, but without the word loy, Epis, you wouldn't know this. What would you think? You would think you can't have an army, right? This is some sort of like nuclear arms deal that, you know, you can't have too many horses. We're going to agree. You're going to agree. Is that Pashup Shan in the Pasuk? What does this even mean? The Mara says, like, Tzricha Lafushin. No. I've had it's understood you're allowed to have an army. But you would have thought that maybe there's a limit, a budget, to how many horses you're allowed to have. Kamash Malon, that if it's for the military, there is no limit. You could have as many as you want. It says in the Torah, Le'yarba Le'susim, the Gansalav Mitchil Vatsoif, is only Loy if it's for personal reasons. Tanu Rabban, the Kesef is of Le'yarba. The Torah also said that the king's not allowed to have too much Kesef, too much Zav. Yochla, if you look at the Elite in Aspanya, you would think that he can't even have money that he needs to pay his military. Talmud Loy, Maloy. Same word, loy. The chesed is of layar beloy. Loy ene mar, but mar but kitei lita naspan. So, tomorrow, same cash. Time because rechman loy. Hold off, I've been a few kitei lita naspan. You're not me loy. Wait, you're telling me that had not said the word loy, you would think that he can't even have enough money to pay his chevron. The gemara says the same teretz. Loy tzricha lar vacha. No. Avadi, you know he's allowed to have, but you would think maybe he can't have too much. Meaning, maybe there's a limit of how much money he's allowed to have in the coffers, even if the purpose of it is to make payroll. Kamash Malan, there is no limit. The whole limit is loy for personal reasons. You're telling me that the word loy is ledrasha. In the lav of layarba loy susim, we darshan the word loy. In the lav of the kesefas of layarba loy, we darshan the word loy. Layarba loy noshim, I darshan spay. It also said layarba loy noshim. So what are we going to darshan over there? It's coming to my head. head yet. What does that mean? That only a king has a limit of layabalay nashim. But as it relates to a head yet, there is no limit. Rabbi Yehuda Rami. Except the pasuk says, "Vayehi l'shloimoi, Shloimoi melech had arbaim elef urvois susim." He had 40,000 urvois susim. So Rashi says urvois means rows. Or vice even sounds like the word row. Rows of susim. And there's another pasuk that says, "Vayehi l'shloima arba salafin." Here it sounds even more. Ur yais susim. Right? So which one is it? Was it 40,000 or was it 4,000? Or it says, okay, it's im arbon elef itstablois. If he had 40,000 stables, then hayu kalechad. Said each one was made up of 4,000 rows of susim. Vim dalad alafim, it's nablois hayu. And if he had 4,000 stables, then kol echad echad hayu bay arbam elef urvay susim. Then each one was made up of 40,000 rows of susim. Either it's 40,000 stables, each one has 4,000 rows, or it's 4,000 stables, each one has 40,000 rows. Either way, it's a lot of horses, right? By the way, this is a little bit of a segue for what's about to come. Shloimeh HaMelech, it says in the Torah, Le'yarba lo'y susim. And Shloimeh HaMelech has how many susim? A lot of susim. Rabbi Yitzchak Rami, Yitzchak asks this, except the pasuk says, "Ein kesef nechshav b'mei Shloimeh l'ma'uma." In the times of Shloimeh HaMelech, there was so much wealth that money had no value. Everyone had so much money. Except the pasuk says, "Vayitin l'shloimeh sakesef b'yushalayim kavonim." Then Shloimeh HaMelech's times, money was like stones. Now, stones is not so valuable. Abasahata, right? It has a value. It's kavanim. It definitely has value. Rashi, chashim yaburta. It's worth something. Mar says, like kasha. Kan kain shanasa shlem is baspari. Kan lach shanasa shlem is baspari. Before Shlomo HaMelech married baspari, there was such ashiras. Money was ma'uma. After baspari, then already there wasn't such ashiras. It was only kavanim. Om Rabbi Yitzchak. Beshosh shanasa shlem is baspari. Shlomo HaMelech married baspari. Yard Gavriel. Gavriel came down. Vinaatz kana bayam. And he stuck a kana, a reed in the yam. The hella sirtain. And all of a sudden, some land formed. The olav nivna krach gadol shabaraymi, and that's when Raimi was formed. And obviously, the pnimius of this Gemara is that Shlomo HaMelech marrying Bas Pari somehow was setting the stage for what would ultimately be Churban Beis Hamikdash. From Rabbi Yitzchak, also said, we're going to end with this. Nei maloi niskalu tami Torah. Why is it that the Torah did not reveal the Tameyater? Shari Shtei Mikrois Neskalu Taima. Because there are two psukim in the Torah where the Torah did reveal the Tam. The Nichshal Behem Godol HaOilam. And a Godol HaOilam was Nichshal because of it. Who is the Godol HaOilam? Shlomo HaMelech. And what were the two psukim? Ksiv it says, Layar Beloy Noshim. Omash Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech said, Ani Akbe V'loy Aser. Oh, it says in the Torah, Layar Beloy Noshim. Why? Because we're afraid that if you're going to be marba noshim, then maybe it's going to lead you astray. Well, I don't have to worry about that. Ani arba v'loy osner. How many wives did Shlomo HaMelech have? 1,000, right? So he said, I'm not worried. 18, 24, 48. I'm not worried. I hope this is not a problem. Right? He had like Rabbi Yehuda. That this is not something you have to worry about. V'ksiv, yet the pasuk says, V'yi le'ez zikna Shlomo noshav hitu es levavoy. Didn't work out. V'ksiv is another pasuk. That says, le'yab le'y susim. V'amma Shlomo, Shlomo said, ani arba v'lo yashiv. I'm nothing to worry about. Now, how many susim was Shlomo HaMelech marba? We just said, not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of horses, right? The stables and rows and all these stables. It's not normal how much he had, right? But he said, I have nothing to worry about. The pasuk says, "Vateitze merkava mi Mitzrayim b'sheish v'goymer," that eventually they start taking down schayra from Mitzrayim, and exactly what Shlomo HaMelech said, you don't have to worry about, ended up playing itself out. So just to end with two horrors, we'll see if we have time. Two horrors, we'll do this quickly. So this last Gemara that we just learned says the Gemara, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, mipnei ma loy neskalu tamei Torah." Why is it that the tamei Torah were not neskala? Because there's two, right? For the most part, you don't know the tamei mitzvahs. Because there's two psukim where we know the tamei mitzvah, and a god of oilam is nichshal. So could you imagine if we had all the tamei mitzvahs, us mortals, how often we would be nichshal? If a god of oilam was nichshal from the two psukim where you have tamei Torah, so this is obviously something you have to be very careful of. This is something you have to be. It's like this: you don't know the time. You don't know the time. You have nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. This is a way of protecting from this inyan. It's yodua that the Vilna Gaon said, based on this Gemara, a dover nifla, to explain another classic in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. So this Gemara that we're about to learn is in contention for certainly top 10 raid Gemaras of all time. It says in the Mishnah, Lo Yikru Lo Oir Haner, a person on Shabbos is not allowed to learn Lo Oir Haner next to a lamp. Says the Gemara, Lo Yikru Lo Oir Haner, Shemo Yata. The reason is, I mean, the Mishnah doesn't say why, but the reason is Shemayata, because we're concerned that if a person is going to read Lo'oiraner, so he may accidentally, while he is learning, take the ner and bend it a little bit, and if he does that, he's going to be Michal Shabbos. So for that reason, Chazal said, this is one of the Yud Ches Dvarim, Lo'yikra Lo'oiraner. I'm Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said, Ani Ekrav Lo'yata. So you heard what Chazal said. That Lo'yikra Lo'oiraner Shemayata. He says, I don't have to be worried about it. You think I'm ever going to be Mata Ner? It's never going to happen. Pam Achas, one time, Kara Ubike Shlahatos. He was learning and he wanted to be Mata. Omar, he said, Kama G'day Lo'divri Chacham. Wow, you see the Chacham, they're so smart. So you Oimrim Lo'yikra. Because they used to say La'ikur La'iraner. Reb Nosson says, no, I have a different version of the story. Karavihita, he learned and he was smart. Because of Alpunkasi, and he wrote on his pinkas, Ani Yishmo ben Alisha Karisi Vahatisi Ner B'Shabbos, Likshaybana Beis Hamikdash Avichat Tashmena. So how does everyone learn this Gemara? Rabbi Shmo ben Alisha knew the Mishnah, La'ikur La'iraner. And he knew that Chazal said, Shemayata. So he said, Ani Ekrav La'yata. And then he almost was mat, or he was yata. Because of Alpinkosai, that I'm going to bring a chat to Shemayin, Kishapana Beis HaMikdash, but what was his comment? He said, Kama Gedoylam Divrei Chachomim, Shayo Aymer La'ikul Arana. In other words, I thought, where am I ever going to come to be Mata Aner? I was wrong. Kama Gedoylam Divrei Chachomim, that if the Chachomim said that it's going to happen, that you see it could happen. He said, the Vilna Goyen, I don't think that's Pshat in the Gemara. That's not what the Gemara means to say. You know what the Gemara means to say? Rabbi Shmuel was making the following comment. The Mishnah said, Lo Yikra Lo Iraner. And the Mishnah didn't give the reason for Lo Yikra Lo Iraner. It's a braisa. Lo Yikra Lo Iraner Shemayata. But Rabbi Yehuda Anasi omitted the reason, said Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, you want to know why he omitted the reason? I never really understood. I thought it's probably because Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is Mekatzer. So the Brice is Amayrach, he's Mekatzer. He picks Rameyer, right? Rameyer is the Ikka Talmud, Rabbi I thought it's all that raid. I thought it has to do with all those related raid bites. But said Rabbi Yishmael, I chap now why. The reason is because when I heard that the reason is Shemayata, I said, oh, big deal. Ani Ekrav Lo'yata, and what happened? I was Mata. I ended up doing something wrong. So, had I not known that the reason of Lo'yikra Lo'iraner is Shemayata, I would have never came tzu to it. But because I knew it's Shemayata, so I made a cheshbin, then Ani Ekrav Lo'yata, and look what ended up coming from it. So said the Vilna Goyen, that's what Rabbi Shmuel was saying. Kama G'daylam Divrei Chacham, listen to the words of the Gemara. Kama G'daylam Divrei Chacham, show you Oimrim Lo'yikra Lo'iraner. Meaning La'ikra Lo'iraner without explaining Shemayata. That's the Kama Gedolim Divrei Chachamim. That by not explaining it like this, you're preventing people. And said the guy, what's the Makar to my Pshad? It's enough in a Gemara. We're Sanhedrin 21b. This Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mipnei Ma, Loi Neskalu Taimei Atayra, Shari Shnei Mikrois Neskalu Taimam, V'nichshol Behen Godan Oilam. And that's exactly what happened. Here you had the Chazal with Megal Atam, and a Godal Oilam, Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha, the Kohen Godal was Nichshol. So said the guy, that's the Oimik, that's what's going on in this Gemara. Now Pshad in this Goyin, of course, is related to another Goyin that we've spoken about many times, where the Goyin said that in every Dirabonan there's the Tamniglon, there's the Tamnister, right? The Goyin said it famously with regards to Mashke Megulin. The Goyin was very, very makbid on Mashke Megulin. Once upon a time, it was considered very dangerous to drink from a Mashke that was left uncovered overnight. The Shulchan Aruch says in Yerideya Kufta Zayin, Ho'idno Delishchichi Nechashav Akramim, this is not something you have to worry about. But the Goyin was very makbid, and the Goyin explained that the reason he's so makbid is, Hu Ha Yo'omer. A Hu Ha Yo'omer from the Vilna Goy. Kol Macha Asru Chazal, Oy Tiknam, reading from the Maiserav. Eze Takonam, Bne Ezne Tam, Avshe Botla Tam, Agolui Lanu, Takonosam Visurim, Bim Koyme Yo'omer. Kihem Loy Gilu, Ela Echon, Mikama Taime Makmusim Imoyim. Al Kain Asr Lavra Ladri Chachomim, Avshe Botla Tam, Agolui Lanu. So the Goyin always held that there's the Tam Nigla and the Tam Nister. But the bottom line is, that's this Goyin. So the Goyin said, La Yikra Lay Raner, Shemayat, the Kamag Doyum Divri Chachomim. The what's the Kamag Doyum Divri Chachomim that they didn't give the reason. Right, over the years, we've mentioned so many times what the Chassidish Sfarim say. That, what was the Kama Gedoyim Divrei Chachamim? That really Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was right when he made the Cheshbin. Ani Ekrav Lo'yata. We could Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who went Lefnai V'Lefnim, how could he come to being Karav Hita? But because Chazal said Shemayata, that created a Metzias in the world, a clear and present danger of Shemayata. And that's what led to it. And that was his comment, Kama Gedoyim Divrei Chachamim. Right, that's what the Chassidish Sfarim say. It's Divrei Chachamim, the words of the Chachamim have power. They can create reality. And because they said Shemayata, that created a reality of Shemayata. But the Goyin saying a different shot. Going saying a different shot. Not what they said, but what they didn't say. Wow, how wise they were. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, for not giving the time of this halacha. Just to add one beautiful neufach to this that I saw from great Goyen, Rabbi Shlomo Fischer, Zeche Tzadik Levracha. He said something so beautiful. The Gemara says in Masechtas Erevin, Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis. Same daf. Omar Rav Hamnuna. What's pshat in the pasuk that says Vayidaber, referring to Shlomo HaMelech? Shloishes Alofim Mashal Vayihi Shiroi Chamisha VaOlef. What does this mean? So Shlomo HaMelech knew 3,000 Mishalim and 5,000 Shiroi. Sounds like songs, right? Malami Zok Gemara. Shom Shlomo Al Kol Davar VaDavar Shal Torah Shloishes Alofim Mashal. Every din day raisa, he said 3,000 mushals. So, Grashi, what's a mushal? Tam, one word. Val kol dover, the dover, shall soifrim, chamisha ve elef taimim. 1,005 taimim for every derabana. Said Rabbi Shlomo Fischer, Shlomo HaMelech is using his great chachma to do what? To come up with all these different reasons and all these different taimim for dine day raisa and dine derabana. Why is this avoida? He said, because Shlomo HaMelech was nichshol, the Gemara says, because he was derish time of the krop. He was nichshol for the time of the krop layabaloi noshim. And he was nichshol for the time of the krop layabaloi susim. Oh, the Torah gave a reason. This doesn't apply to me. So if it doesn't apply to me, I don't have to worry about it. So to be masak in that, what Shlomo HaMelech do? He went and he showed that every mitzvah has so many reasons. 3,000 for every day raisa, 1,005. Odd number. But 1,005 for every Rabbanim. But Shlomo HaMelech is the one that's engaging in this process. Simply why? Because he is atoning for the terrible, terrible mistake that he made by thinking that the lav is related to one specific mitzvah. And this is something that has nothing to do with me. V'divrei pichachim chem. But just to end with one last story, we have to. Even though we mentioned this years ago. But you can't learn Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph without saying over this one marimakim. And that is, the Gemara said, Amrav Yudam Arav, Arba Meir Siladim Hayulay the David. David HaMelech had 400 children. V'kulam b'nei yifas toyer hayu. They were all b'nei yifas toyer. U'megadle b'luyas hayu. And they were all megadle b'luyas. V'kulam yoishmen b'kroinoi shal zav. U'mehalchem b'roshi geises hayu. V'heim hayu b'alei agroifen shal beis David. And everybody who's ever learned this Gemara has wondered, certainly to himself and maybe out loud, how's that possible? David Melech had 400 children, B'nai Yifas Toya. It just seems very, very pelvic. But the kasha is even starker than that. And the G'dayli Achroinim all ask this kasha. And that is, the halacha is, that even though there's a parish of Yifas Toya, and like Dibra Toya, Elu Keneged Yetzahara, but there's only one Bia that's mutter. Certainly, you can't have more than one child from Yifas Toya. Which means for every war David HaMelech fought, he would have been able to have one child at most. Okay. David HaMelech, there's a Vayikra Rabbah that says, fought 18 wars. And in Cheshbin, the most amount he could have had was 18. So you'll tell me there were twins and triplets and it was Shisha Bekeres Echad. We're really stretching our imagination here, right? So it's a Pliat Suma, number one, just because. And number two, L'chura, the halachos of Yifas Toyer and the amount of wars that David HaMelech fought would seem to prohibit such a metzias that David HaMelech could have had 400 B'nai Yifas Toyer. So Rabbi Reuven Margolis, in a Sefer Mechkarim B'Darkei HaTalmud, says, a dover nifle v'ruyin advarim l'misha amal. Now, in Mechkarim B'Darkei HaTalmud, so he talks about different Mechkarim. This is Mechkar Yud. And the name of the Mechkar is HaMisparim B'Talmud, numbers in the Talmud. And he has this whole arichos, how he believes there's a lot of mistakes that you find and misconceptions and things that are, wow, so you vavoyu dig, right? I've never seen anything so vavoyu. Some of these Gemaras, it's based on Ta'usin that came about simply because of numbers. So what's the problem with numbers? So he said that if the redactors of the Talmud would have written numbers, so you wouldn't have had the problem. He said, but very often numbers were written as abbreviations. So instead of saying one, maybe you would say Aleph. Instead of saying two, maybe you would say Beis, etc., etc. And numbers caused problems and caused a lot of tricks. One of the things that he talks about is, just give you an example, he talks about Rapreta. Right, the Gemara says that Rapreta had a Talmud, and he taught this Talmud 400 times every single, and then there was this one time he mamish couldn't chap, and he taught him another 400 times, and he was zoichet to an extra 400 years. And he brings from the Chida and other kadmonim, they all ask that they don't understand that for a prey to live 400 years, that means based on when he was born, he would have been around in the times of the goyim. And he says, how come Rav Hai goyim, Rav Sadia goyim? How come nobody quotes Rav Preid? Again, these are obvious questions. But how come no one quoted Rav Preid? The Chida asked this question. So it's a parallel. The Goyen, Rav Sadia Goyen, should have said, I shamati me Rav Preid, shashamir me Rav Yochanan, right? Or something along those lines. How come no one ever quoted him? L'chair, that's what... So Reuven Margolis says, I surmise, what I think happened is that Rav Preid didn't live 400 years. Again, this is a Chiddush. He had a big koyach in Chiddush. He didn't live 400 years. He lived... 90 years. But what happened was, in the Gemara, instead of writing 90, they wrote Tof, with a little shtrechel on top, and it was understood that he got not either 90 or he lived an extra 90 years. But the point is, it was understood that the number was 90. Nobody was going to think 400, because nobody lives 400 years. You ever heard a person live 400 years? Right? Not since Farda Mabel. So if that's the case, so it was never... really, all al datenu that's what it was going to be. So he wrote up in Meshach Hazman. People thought, yeah, maybe someone taka live 400 years. And he says the emes is very geschmack to say this. Why? Right, there's always a punchline, Rabbi Margolis. It's very geschmack. You know why it's geschmack? Because what was the schar that he got? Because he used to teach this Talmud 90, and then he taught him another 90. Or 400, and then he taught him another 400. He said, to teach someone Torah 400 times, 90 has a makar. Where's the makar? If you say it 90 times, it creates hergel. So he says it's mistaber that he would teach this Talmud tough times, but not tough as in 400, tough as in tishim times. And as a result, he was zoicha in return. That what did he get? Not tough shana in 400 years, but he got tishim shana. He got 90 years. He says, I'm going to tell you another toys I think people make that's based on the same exact thing. He said, it's brought down in the Seder Tanah Vamiram. You might have heard this. The Rabbi Yochanan lived 300 years, and Rav lived 400 years. So you stayed, right? B'schus tefilas Rav, the Velt says, one of the pshatim, why we say B'schus tefilas Rav, because Chaim Aruchim and Rav lived 400 years, right? Shailos it, Rav, and the Mechsaluza, also something you've talked about so many times. But the bottom line is, Rav lived 400 years. It's based on Rishonim. It comes from Seder Tanav Amiram, Rabbi Yochanan Chai, 300 years, Rav Chai, 400 years. Now, if you look it up inside, is what it says. Rabbi Yochanan Chai, Shin Shonim, Rav Chai, Tof Shonim. Says Rabbi Reuven Margolis, I think, Rabbi Yochanan didn't live 300 years. I think he lived Shmoinim Shana, 80 years. And Rav didn't live 400 years, but rather, you want to know how many years he lived? He lived 90 years. In fact, he says, if you do the math and you take a look at the Deiros HaRishonim from Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi and Krach Chelik Beis, Krach Beis, Perek Tezayin, he does the math of Rav's life and it comes out that he lived Be'erich 90 years. It fact checked perfectly. And Rabbi Yochanan lived 80 years. In fact, if you look at that Chazal, it says like this, Rabbi Yochanan Chai Shin Shonim, Rav Chai Tov Shonim, Rabbi Yochanan Zak, Rabbi Akiviv Hillel Azokin, Choyu Kol Echmem Kuf Chav Shon. 80? 90? And 120. He says, posh it, that's what's going on over here. But he said, I see one thing from all this. You know what I see? That sometimes the word tough was a Rosh Tevis for Tishin. Tishin as in Rav Preid. Tishin as in the life of Rav. And it doesn't mean the gematria of the word tough, which is 400. So says Rav Reuven Margolis, something occurred to me. There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Aleph. It's Perek Gimel, it's Pasuk Hei. And it starts listing all the children of David HaMelech. So we saw a little bit about the family of David HaMelech. It's one of the themes here in Pesach Sanhedrin. The Perek begins as follows. Ve'elu hayu b'nei David, asher noilad loy b'chevron. I was chazering over part of today's daf. HaBechor, who is David HaMelech's oldest son? Amnon. L'achinoyim ha-Yisraelis. Sheni, Daniel, l'avigayel la-Carmelis. Hashlishi, l'avisholim b'macha, bas Talmai, Melech Gishur. Harvi Adonia ben Chagis. Hachamishi Shvat Yelavitol. Hashishi Yisram Le'egla Ishtai. Shisha Noiladoi Bechevroin. These are the six sons that David Melech had in Chevroin. Vayimloch Shom. Sheva Shonim. Vashisha Chadoshim. How long was he Melech in Chevroin? 7.5 months. Ushloshim Vasholishonim Melech Mishlaim. Another 33 years he was King Yerushalayim. Ve'ela, the Pasuk continues, says Nudalab Yerushalayim. These are the children that David Melech had in Yerushalayim. Shima. Veshoivav. Venosan. Ushloima Arba Lebas Shua, also known as Basheva Basamiel. So David HaMelech had his six sons in Chevron, and he had another four sons in Yerushalayim, one of which is, of course, Shloima HaMelech. And then the pasuk continues and lists additional sons. V'yifchar, ve'elishama ve'elifalet, v'noiga v'nefek v'yofia, ve'elishama ve'elyada ve'elifelet tisha. He had another nine sons, kol b'nei David, v'vav b'nei Pelakshan. And besides that, he also had b'nei Pelakshan. So the pasuk lists six sons that David HaMelech had in Chevron, four sons that David HaMelech had in Yerushalayim, and then it mentions another nine sons. Additionally, there were b'nei Pelakshan. Right? Rebbe from Agos is one glaring observation you have to make. The first six are mentioned that he had in Chevron. We know who their mothers were. Each one, right? Amnon is Achinoam Yisraelis. Daniel's mother is Abigail. Avshalom is Ben Macha. Adoniah is Ben Chagis. Shvatya comes from Avital. Yisram comes from Eglah. Okay. And then the four sons in Yerushalayim, they're all the sons of Batsheva, that's what the pasuk says. But then we have nine. V'yivchar, v'lishama, v'lifalet, v'noiga, v'nefek, v'yofia, v'lishama, v'lyod, v'lifalet, tisha. We don't know who their mother was. Says Rabbi Ruben Margolis, lulei de mistafina. I would say that you want to know who those nine sons were. They were the b'nei yifas toya. And when the Gemara says that David HaMelech had 400 sons that were b'nei yifas toya, never really said 400. You know what it said? It said tough. And tough, just like it can mean tishim, tough could also mean tisha. And it's referring to those tisha children that the pasuk says mefurish in Divrei Hayom. And the reason their mothers are not mentioned is because they're b'nei yifas toya. They didn't have yichas from the mamre. And that's why they don't get a shout out. They're not mentioned in the pasuk. But the point is, it wasn't 400. What it was nine. He says it answers a lot of kashas. It's also ma'od ma'od nestara. This is vintage Rabbi Ruben Margolis in the middle of his mechkar. I mean, there's so many rayas that he says with this. Again, every shtickle just blows in your mind more and more and more. But either way, this is Nikarim Divrei HaEmes, that it wasn't 400, it was Tisha. There's so much precedent for this idea that the Tes, or whatever letter it could be, could just be the first letter of a number. That's sometimes the way numbers were presented in Chazal. And again, this would answer a lot of kashas. V'divrei pi chacham chei.